get out to that. There is my speaker. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of our Lord remains forever. Man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Our new year is coming up, and if you're with me, you'll be able to ring it in with a Christian family member. So I hope to see you there. But when we think about this new year, we often take time to remember the year that's past. Because the new year also means that one year is over. And we take time to reflect on the events, the things that happened over the course of that year. I know in my own life, I've gone through a lot of changes. And you guys know some of those changes. I've changed jobs. Trisha's pregnant with another baby. That's a big change for us. Going from 4 to 5 is scary. 1 to 2 was okay. 2 to 3 was, we've seen people do this before. 3 to 4 was, we've heard of it. This one's frightening for us. I think the trans did it though, so most of theirs turned out okay. I'll let you decide. Hello, trans. We've also had some changes in our congregation, haven't we? We started out the year without anybody employed here, and now we're ending with somebody behind the pulpit. We've had several clothing giveaways. We've reached out to the community in several ways. We had Community Day. What else did we do this year? We had all kinds of things going on. Christmas party, New Year's party. I was watching some videos, actually, that on YouTube, not of our congregation, but of, you know, the world in general. That YouTube always shows that, like, a year in review videos, and you can watch some videos have silly videos that have come up over the past year, and you can watch all different kinds of people do the whip and nay-nay. It's a dance that kids do these days. And you can, it'll show shots of that dress that was either white or gold or blue and black, and it just brings up these memories. You can see videos of more serious things, like the attacks in Paris and the attacks in Nigeria, and you can watch videos of the movies that have gone on this year. With I know Star Wars just opened up, Jurassic Park was this year. Just stories that come in contact with our lives that affect us in subtle ways. And as we watch these videos and we think back on our life, I know for me at the end of the year, I'm really hard-headed. I need several reminders to think back on my life. So God blessed me with a birthday right near the end of the new year so that I have two reasons to look back and say, you know, how has the year gone? And we think back, I think sometimes, and we think back to how the years change, not just one year at a time, but several years. How have things changed in your life over the past few years? I used to, when Strider was born, it was only 8 years ago, almost 9 years ago now, when he was born, I had an idea that every year for him, I would gather together these photos. This is kind of a nerdy thing that I do. These photos of animals that were officially extinct, that became listed on the extinct list that year. And alongside that, I would also list some animals that were newly discovered. And I had the idea that this, with this presentation of these pictures, these ideas, it would show Strider and we together and all of our family, we could see God's creation and wonder at the new discoveries and learn about things God created that we would never get to see. We missed out on. And I was hoping that we could learn together. We could learn humility. We could learn about the brevity of life and the wonder of life in this world and the power of God in this world. And we could learn from these pictures, these things that have existed on this earth. We can learn how powerful God is, how eternal God is, compared to the brevity of our own life. In our lives, things come and go. People come and go. Some people we'll never see again in our lives. And thinking about such things makes us wistful, and it makes us appreciate our blessings. It also reminds us of the brevity of life, doesn't it? More so than looking at some pictures of animals that we'll never see. Thinking about the people in our life and how they've changed our lives reminds us of how brief life can be when we no longer see them. We think about the major events in our lives. Think about the major events of your life. How many of those things will be remembered? How many of those things will you remember 5 years from now? What about the major events of your entire life? What are those events? How many of those will be remembered 5 years after you're gone? How many of those events will be remembered by anybody? Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 40, verses 6 through 8. He said, "A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, and the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." We know what this means, don't we? We are temporary as the grass. Also, we don't always take time to reflect on it. We don't always take time to make it personal, because it hurts to think about things we lost, and it scares us to think about how brief our life is. We are temporary as the grass. Do you have grass in your yard? Sometimes I do. In the springtime when the rains come, I have grass. In the fall, it's dead. Sometimes in the summer, it dies. I understand that in Israel, where Isaiah was writing from, sometimes you can have a green field, and within 48 hours, the scorching wind will kill it. And what about this flower? Think about the grass of the field, all those blades of grass. Every once in a while, you'll have a flower. The glory of grass is the flower. And that glory fades, just like the glory of man fades. All those achievements in your life fade. But the word of our God will stand forever. So we can take comfort in the eternity of God's word. There it will be forever. Long after we're gone, the word of God will be around. One of those extinct animals that I found when I was listing animals that had gone extinct, I did go back further than just that year from time to time, and I found an animal called the American chestnut tree. It was a giant tree that up until the late 1800s was all over the place, all over. They covered the Appalachian Mountains. They grew from Maine all the way down into Mississippi, all the way to the coast, the East Coast. It was used in all kinds of furniture and building material, but eventually, like that grass that withers, like the life of an individual man or woman, the tree was wiped out. It was wiped out by a disease. So even those things we think that will outlast us and last forever, if it's not from the Word of God, if it's not the Word of God, it will not be around forever. It doesn't matter if it's common grass or a beautiful flower or a mighty chestnut tree. They will all fall, but God's word will stand forever. Here Isaiah is talking about the promises of God. Those prophecies he's making are promises for the people of Israel. The truth of God's word. Rather than relying on man's strength, rather than hoping on man's strength, even the best of man's strength, even the glory of man, that flower fades. Isaiah says, depend on the promises of God. Hope on the promises of God, because they're eternal and they're true. Don't we want those promises in our life? Don't we want that word to be a part of our life? That eternal word. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of our Lord remains forever. Man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So what promises do we have to hope for? How do we live by the eternal, unfailing word of God? You can turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 is where we'll be spending our time today. I'll start reading in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Peter says those born again, those who are born through the resurrection, that have met Christ in death, that have been raised alive to God and dead to sin, those people have a living hope, a hope to an imperishable, undefiled, and unfading inheritance in heaven. Not only that, but God's power is guarding this inheritance for salvation through faith. God promised salvation. God made a way for salvation, and God is protecting our salvation by giving us what we need to live faithfully to Him. We should not rely on man to save. Man cannot even save himself any more than a blade of grass can save itself from the scorching wind. We depend on the eternal Word of God. We place our hope on the eternal Word of God. We live faithfully by the eternal Word of God. Is the Word of God a part of your life today? God keeps His promise for salvation, and we become imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. No longer grass, but children of God. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What does this living hope, this hopeful living, this faithful living, what does this look like? Let's look at verses 13 through 17. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct, since it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." And if you call on Him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout your time of exile. Peter calls this brief lifespan on earth, this time of grass, this brevity of life, he calls it a time of exile, because for Christians, this world is not our home. We are aliens sojourning here. We are here temporarily. We live differently. We have a different word that we live by. We don't live by man's word. We live by God's word. We don't live for selfish passions of man, but by the word of God, and we conduct ourselves with fear. We don't conduct ourselves with fear of death and decay anymore, but fear of God, the Holy Father who judges. Knowing without Him, without that God, without being in contact with that God and in His word, we can never be more than grass. If we are to depend on the word of God, that absolute, eternal word of God, rather than man, who conforms to the passions of his ignorance, then we must set our hope fully on God's grace and live as obedient children, holy children. This is what living faithfully by the word of God means. Peter goes on to reiterate and remind Christians of the gospel message. We need reminders, don't we? That's why I like New Year's. Not just because it's issuing in a new year, but because it reminds us of what's gone on the past year. That's why I like my birthday, because it reminds me of things. I got a special gift for my birthday. It's a pin. Don't be scared. Get it. I got a pin, and it's a really special gift because it acts as a reminder for me. I'll tell you what it reminds me of. It was a gift from Michael Jones from Waynesboro Church. Actually, my mother-in-law and my wife got it for me, but he made it for me. And it's a special gift, and it reminds me of that friendship and our relationship. But it's, it reminds me of more than that, too. And like, I need reminders. We as Christians need reminders. We need reminders of the gospel message, because that's what we are to be living, and that's what we are to be preaching, the gospel message. And Peter goes on to remind the Christians that he's writing to in order to give them reason to live by the word of God. And in order to for the Christians to understand that they need to live by the word of God, he goes back to the gospel message. Sometimes we need to be reminded of what Peter calls in chapter 2. It's in chapter 2, verse 2. He says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Have you obeyed the gospel? Then you've had that taste. Is it good? Then crave it. Seek it. Seek that spiritual milk, that word of God, the good taste of the words of God. Let's turn to 18 and 21 and see this gospel message as Peter lays it out. He says, knowing that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. All people were perishing as grass, and no flower of the field, no grass, no man could save us. No silver or gold could save us. No perishable thing that was created could save us. But our debt to sin was paid. Their debt to sin was paid with the eternal, imperishable blood of Christ. Jesus, who was born on this earth, who lived an undefiled life and died. And he was raised from the dead to live in glory. Now through Christ, these are believers in God. Have you entered in through Christ? Have you entered in through Christ? Because that's how we access this eternal word of God. That's how we access this eternal life. Now through Christ, these are believers in God, and they place their faith and hope in God. Let's look at verse 23. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. That word of God Isaiah spoke of hundreds of years ago. Many countless lives later, many generations later, after many fields of grass had grown and withered, after many flowers had fallen, nations had come and gone, the living and abiding word of God that stands forever, according to Isaiah, bringing people to salvation, bringing perishable grass men and flower women to salvation. We're being born again through the living and abiding word of God. Peter concludes this passage where we started with a quote from Isaiah. Verse 24, for all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And Peter added a comment to that, an explanatory comment. He's explaining. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. That gospel message is forever. This word that we rely on, this word that we trust in, this is the gospel. The word we place our hope in, the word that we live faithfully by, is the gospel. It brings us salvation because it tells us the good news of Jesus and his gift, which is not just for this life, but for eternal life. In fact, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people the most to be pitied. Because we're living by a gospel that won't last. But of course, we know that the Word of God abides forever. Are you a part of the Word of God? Are you a part of the gospel message? Do you obey the gospel message in your life? We are born again to a living hope. Set it fully. Set your hope fully on the grace of God that is found in His Word. You don't have to be grass anymore. Make the Word part of your life. That's how we're able to live faithfully. That's how we're able to live holy. That's how we're able to live hopefully. Because we live bought. Is your life bought by Christ? Have you accepted that purchase? Live like imperishable children of God. How do we forget this truth in our day-to-day lives? So much that we need reminders like this. Shouldn't living by the gospel be the legacy we have, the legacy of Christ? Preaching the gospel to our friends, sharing it with one another, living by this truth, this promise, shouldn't that be our legacy? Is it obvious that the Word is a part of your life? Is it obvious to you? Is it obvious to those around you? Is it one of the major events of your life? Is the gospel message one of those defining things in your life? There's a 100-year-old church in Love, Virginia. And Tricia and I were up there visiting. Last time we were visiting, they were actually tearing down the auditorium. And they were trying to reclaim as much of the wood as possible, but they couldn't get it all because I took some. It was made of American chestnut. It was made of that extinct wood. That wood, those trees that will never be here again. They're trying to remake it, but it will never be exactly the same. And that church, those walls, they'll never be exactly the same. That building was not eternal. This pen was made out of the wood that I took. And it reminds me of how brief life is. No matter how big I might think I am, or how big I might think trees are, how much area they cover, or how important I might think this building is that the very church of Christ builds. There's something more important and longer lasting than that. This is an outdated method of communication, and it's made from an extinct tree. It's made from wood from a church building that's been dilapidated, and it was given to somebody with bad handwriting. But what can God do with that? What's the important thing about this pen? It's not how it's made. The pen is worthless. It's what I do with it. Is the gospel a part of your life? Are you like a fancy pen made of stories? Or do you share the gospel message with every mark that you make in other people's lives? With every mark that you make in your life? Are you sharing the gospel message? Are you grass? Are you an old, meaningless relic? Or are you a child of God, allowing Him to cause you to further His kingdom? This year, stop relying on others' opinion of you. Stop believing that. Stop conforming to what you know to be wrong. Stop conforming to the passions of this life. This year, live for Christ. Live for Christ and be an unfading flower, an imperishable child of God. Start this year off right. Be in the book, the Bible, the Word of God. Today, if you find yourself far from God's Word, if you've been depending on pop culture or movies or what's going on in the videos or what's going on in the news or job, anything originating from sinful humanity, from this creation, if you're relying on that more than God, if you have any need that you would like to bring before your brothers and sisters today, you have that opportunity. Or if you've never answered the gospel call, you cannot live it. You cannot live the gospel. You cannot accept the promises of God if you don't obey it. You've heard the gospel message today. The Son of God died for you. He was buried, and God raised him. And he lives forever in heaven. You can join him there, free of the penalty of sin because Jesus paid the price. Join him in his death through baptism, laying down your life of sin, and be raised a child of God, living, hoping, having faith in God's word. Do you believe that message? Are you ready to be baptized? Life is short, and we blades of grass are not promised tomorrow. Please come as we stand and sing.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood?
I'm gonna Father, what a glorious and wonderful day. Lord, we stand here in the middle of eternity, Father, knowing that our lives are brief and short, but our soul is imperishable and eternal. And Lord, we're so thankful that that way to you, with you, has been paved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we're so thankful for, Father, for the opportunity to come and praise you and to declare that before each other. And as we depart here, Father, may we declare it to the world. Father, we're so thankful for the many things. We can just look back a short time in this year and just know that we have been blessed much, and we have much to look forward to. And as we step forward, Father, may we do it in spirit and in truth and in courage and in love. Thank you. May you bless us as we depart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.